Now, over the past week, the morning show has been dominated by the issue of parental alienation. We've received hundreds of messages from parents and family members affected by the issue, and we didn't, to be honest, know that it existed or to that extent. On the line, we're joined by a grandmother. We're not giving her a real name. We're going to call her Patricia today, who is desperate to see her grandchild. So, good morning to you. Patricia, tell us about your situation.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I hope I can be clear and efficient with my time. Well, my situation is that our son and his partner had a baby, and from the time that the baby was born, she would every day nearly say, "Well, if you don't do that, I'm leaving with the child." And it was a constant threat. Along with that, before the baby was born, I suppose, she used other types of abuse and control. But this was a great control because he absolutely fell in love with the baby. And his big fear was that she would leave. And she had done her homework and told him that he would never see the baby again, or that he would only have limited access and he would pay a lot of maintenance. In the beginning, we thought she was wonderful, and as a family unit, we would be very close. So she was accepted into the family and loved, and we knew she had issues, but we thought we could love it out of her, if you know what I mean. Hello?
Hello, yeah, I can hear you okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We're listening to you, yeah.
Yeah. Also, my son thought he could love the issues out of her. He was a very sensitive young man. There's a name for that now, and it's empathic, but, you know, we always knew he was very sensitive to people's feelings and emotions, and obviously she did too. So that's the history of it, of how it got to there. She seemingly had been premeditating all this preparation to leave. She was behind the scenes setting his character up, damaging his reputation. He'd be working hard and then he'd come home, she'd hand the child to him, and then she would make her demands. "I want the tiling done, I want this done, I want that done." And he'd say, "Well, I'm minding the child." And he'd, you know, and she would say, "Well, I'll get another man then to do it." You know, it always had everything she said had an extra power to it, you know. But initially, we all thought she was wonderful. We didn't know what was going on behind the scenes and behind the closed doors. Bit of abuse and you know, that kind of thing, uncontrolled. But then she started upping it a gear and, you know, saying all sorts about our son, and we were believing it at first, and then there was some holes in her lies. She'd done the same with his friends, and the whole point was to try and leave him where he had nobody to turn to. But we seen through the holes in the stories, and but there was nothing we could do. We had to stand back and let him see that it was wrong, and eventually, anyway, it came to a head, and she was preparing to leave him, and sent him on the child's second birthday. She sent him a solicitor's letter. Bear in mind, this girl had came from a broken home where she was two when her parents split up in a very aggressive form, and it's like she's trying to relive this history now. That was when we finally kind of surrounded our son and said, "You know, you're being set up and you have to do something." And we showed him, you know, that we were behind him, and he got strong enough to stand up to her. So here's a way he stood up to her. He said no to her when she told him to make the bed. So she lost the plot and headed off with the child, and the judge thought, you know, once she went in and told all sorts of lies, and the judge, an old traditional man, said, "You know, oh, he must be a terrible man. You're taking custody of the child, and you can sort out the access. So the sorting out of the access was a very poor, meaningless access, where in 70 days he's seen the child five times. And each time the child would, you know, be adoring the father, and then it would be an 0-1 overnight, you know, whereas he had to travel a long way to get the child and then back with the child and an overnight stay. So really in 24 hours he only got maybe 8 hours of wake up time with him. And the long and the short of it is that the child, when the child's going back to the mother, the child is very, very upset. He screams that he doesn't want to be there, and you know, it's just awful, really.
When was the last time that you saw the child?
Last weekend. I get to see the child when my son has the child. They come up here for a little while, but it's so, you know, you're trying to give them their own time.
Yeah.
And you're trying not to you know, steal too much of that time, their alone time.
Indeed.
So it's very limited, considering that before that the child, and you know, the child was here a lot. I was the chief babysitter. And it's you know, the whole family is upset. The whole family is, and every week we don't know what she's going to do next. You know, we don't know how she's going to turn everything upside down again. She doesn't have the capability to love. So, you know, it's not the child that's important in her view. And that's what...
And you feel that in the court, you know, a comprehensive hearing wasn't there. It was...
Absolutely. He wasn't asked the question. The child was never mentioned. She was heard. She could say anything. And it was the same with the maintenance court. Both of them had to have their affidavit or whatever, you know. I presume she gave everything in truth, and so did my son, because he would have been afraid of his life to get it wrong. And she started saying that he was earning all this money and had all these different little jobs all over the place. In the meantime, he's supposed to be an alcoholic, drinking all the time. So I don't know. So it shows that she's lying, but the judge doesn't question it. She didn't have to have evidence to say that he had all these other jobs as well. And the amount of jobs and businesses that he had, he'd have to be working 48 hours a day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was so unbelievable that the judge should have asked the question. You know, so it's just that there is no justice. You know, it's all traditional. The judge has made a decision before he comes out on that seat, is the way I see it.
A lot of people are saying that, and we want to say thank you for coming on, Patricia, about this, because it illustrates a lot, you know, of the texts and emails that we got, that just to show the system that it's there, and how people feel aggrieved that their full case is not heard, and maybe things that they feel are not true are being taken as read, you know.
Yes.
So
I just want to say that, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the child, and that child has a family who love him, you know, here, and his daddy loves him to bits and spent a lot of time with him. You know, he used to make his breakfast and his evening meals. You know, he spent an awful lot of time, and he was whipped away, and he's been used as a tool now. And if he were to get more access with his daddy, he would be a happier child. And that's all that any of these parents are asking for. You know, the mummies and daddies in the group that you've connected with, which I have to say, you're a wonderful man to give them a voice. I think every one of them, I think I can speak for them, they're very, very grateful to you. And that's all they're asking, is to stop, listen what's best for the child. They're not thinking of themselves at all, you know. And yeah. That's the point that's very important to get out there.
Yeah, a texter says, that lady's not on her own. You would think she is telling my story. It's heartbreaking. And it's all about money and power with these women. And it might be said, we might say as well, that yesterday we heard about a father who was doing similar
the
activities. So it goes right across the gender.
It is right across. And I wouldn't like anyone to think that I was... saying that it's all women, because I know that there are men out there doing this thing. And at the end of the day, it's what we're trying to say is that the child and the children are suffering because of either man or woman parent who has no thought for the children, only their selfish need to, for their ego to show that they're the ones that won the case, or the one, you know, control. And you know, it's where the professional people are supposed to look and see, and they're not. They're just taking a lazy way out, and they're not even connected enough to go with a gut feeling, you know.
Yeah. Okay, there's so many sad stories. I'm just wondering if you could spend more time with your grandchild. I mean, what would you like to do together? I'm sorry if I upset you about that. Patricia, I'm sure you'd impart all the love that you feel. Yeah.
We'd play in the puddles, box. We'd read stories. And have fun.
Do all the granny stuff.
Sorry,
Patricia. I apologise for upsetting you by that. I just want to say thank you for sharing.
I promise I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. These are very, very emotional situations. We're going to be talking to a solicitor in just a second.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll be interested to hear that then.
Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you very, very much. I totally appreciate the fact that you've given us all a chance to say our piece.
Well, there's some work being done on this politically as well. So hopefully this will progress in some way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good morning to you. Thank you. Morning show at East Coast.